بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we began on page 9 of your workbooks, the second principle, which is مَا دِينُكَ, what is your religion? To revise from last week, there are two meanings to the word ad-deen. What are they? What are the two meanings of the word ad-deen?
Actions and reward and punishment.
No. So the first meaning is actions, and the second meaning is the reward or the punishment of those actions. Does anybody know of an evidence in which Allah mentions the word ad-deen to refer to actions? No. Does anybody know? Any evidence? وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. They were not ordered except that they should worship Allah, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, making their actions, making their deen sincerely for Allah. Then the second meaning of الدِّين is الجَزَاء, meaning the reward or the punishment of those actions. And that is in the saying مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينَ, that Allah is the owner of Yawm al-Din, the day of recompense, the day of reward and punishment, meaning Yawm al-Qiyamah. Then the author, he defined al-Islam. He said, I'lam, know that the religion of Islam, it is. So what is the definition of Islam? What is the definition of Islam? Who knows? The definition of Islam, Ifran. Ahsant. It is al-Islam is al-istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed, to submit to Allah with tawheed, wal-inqiyadu lahu bit-ta'a, and to be consistent in his obedience, wal-bara'atu min ash-shirki wa ahlihi, and to disassociate oneself from shirk and his people. This religion of ours, ad-deen, it is three levels. What are the three levels of our religion? Good. Islam, the base core level. Then Iman, which is a higher level. Then Ihsan, which is the highest level. Okay, so when we say Islam, Iman, Ihsan, then what does Islam refer to? Omar, can you remember? When we say Islam, Iman, Ihsan, then Islam refers to the physical apparent actions of a person. Iman refers to
belief.
The belief in the heart. And Ihsan, the perfection of worship. Ihsan is the perfection of worship. How many pillars does Islam have? Suleiman?
Five
pillars. How many pillars does Iman have? Six pillars. How many pillars does Ihsan have? One pillar, but two levels, and we cover it in a short while. Then we went through the five pillars of Al-Islam. So, the first pillar of Al-Islam,
Qasim, what's the first pillar of Islam?
Good. Shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So, what is the meaning of, in Arabic, what is the meaning of la ilaha illallah? In Arabic, what is the meaning of la ilaha illallah? Daud? La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. There is no deity or God or entity worthy of worship except Allah. Why don't we say that La ilaha illallah means there is no God but Allah? Why don't we say this?
Because there are other gods.
There are other gods, but they are the false gods. And why don't we say that La ilaha illallah means there is no creator besides Allah? Because the mushrikun of Quraysh, they used to believe that Allah is the creator. Yet they still rejected La ilaha illallah, because they understood that it means There is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. Not merely that Allah is the creator. La ilaha illallah, it has two pillars. It's made up of two parts. It consists of two parts. In Arabic, what are those two pillars or two parts? An-Nafi wal-Ithbat. So what does An-Nafi mean, Suleiman? Rejection. No, rejection and negation. Meaning you have to negate the false deities. La ilaha. Then Ithbat. What does Ithbat mean? Affirming. You have to affirm the worship of Allah, meaning illallah. And then the author, rahimullah, he mentioned two ayat which contain the two pillars of La ilaha illallah. Then after this, we went to the second shahada, Muhammadun Rasulullah. Okay, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. It has four pillars, or it necessitates four things. And what are these four things? Yeah. Ahsant. In that which he worshipped. Ta'atuhu fi ma amar. That you have to obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whatever he commanded. Of course, the wajibat which he commanded, we have to fulfill them. And the mustahabbat, the recommended actions which he encourages us to do, we should do as many of them as we are able to do so. Ta'atuhu fi ma amar. Wa tasdiquhu fi ma akhbar. And you have to accept and believe everything which he informed us of. So if a person doesn't believe in a single thing which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed of, or has doubt regarding it, then this is kufr, may Allah protect us. So if a person says that I believe in Tawheed, and I believe in Jannah, and I believe in Jahannam, and I believe everything the Prophet said about the angels, and everything the Prophet said about al-imanu bil-yawm al-akhir, I believe everything. I believe that the Isa alayhi salam will come, and the Mahdi will come, and the Dajjal will come. But he says, I don't believe that the sun will rise from the west and set in the east. Just this thing, I have some doubt over it. This person has left the fold of Islam, because he has not fulfilled this tasdiquhu fi ma akhbar, accepting as truth whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has informed us of. And also, wajtinabu ma naha an, everything which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade, you have to stay away from. So the things which the Prophet forbade are two levels. The muharramat and the makruhat. So muharramat are those things which the Prophet said is haram. These things you have to stay away from. Then there are the makruhat, which the Prophet discouraged us from doing, but they're not haram. They're disliked for us to do. And those things also we should stay away from. And a point here about the makruhat, the things which are disliked. It isn't correct for the people of the sunnah that a person says, okay, I'm only going to do the wajibat and I'm only going to stay from the muharramat. As for those things which are mustahab, recommended, like nafal fasting and nafal praying and other things like that, and reciting Quran and so on and so forth, and also the makruhat, those things which are disliked, then I'm going to do them. This isn't correct. If Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah, if we don't do the mustahabbat and the sunnah and the nawafil, then who else is going to do them? And if we don't stay away from the makruhat, then who else is going to stay away from them? And this is a part of iman, trying to do as many mustahab sunnah actions which you can do, and trying to stay even from the things which are makruh, even if they are not haram. And this is something which our scholars used to advise us with always. That if Ahlu Sunnah, if those who are seeking knowledge, if they aren't going to be doing the nafl fasting and the nafl praying and Qiyam al-Layl and Tilawah of the Quran and all of these other things which are nafl and recommended, then who else is going to do it? Are the people of shirk, or the people of innovation, or those people on the streets, are they going to do it? And if we don't stay away from those things which are makruh, even if they're not haram, then are the people on the street going to stay away from them? So it's upon us, more so, never mind the wajibat, we try to do as much of the recommended actions as we can. And never mind staying away from that which is haram, but even the things which are makruh, as much as possible, try to stay away from them. And then also, only worshipping Allah in a way that the Prophet ﷺ worshipped. Then after this, we went through the other pillars of Al-Islam, which is As-Salah, As-Zakah, As-Siyam, and Al-Hajj. In this lesson, we come to the six pillars of Iman. So the author, rahimullah, he said, the second level is Al-Iman. He said, وَهُوَ بِذْعٌ وَسَبْعُونَ شُعُبًا. It is 70 odd branches. أعلاها قول لا إله إلا الله. The highest branch of Iman is saying لا إله إلا الله. وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق. And the lowest branch of Iman is removing something harmful from the path. والحياة شعبة من شعب الإيمان. And حياة, i.e. shyness, is a branch from the branches of الإيمان. Then he said its pillars are six. So the first paragraph which we mentioned, this that the author mentions is actually a hadith. And this hadith was narrated by Abu Huraira in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. And the author, he has mentioned the wording of the hadith without saying it is a hadith. So when the author said that Iman has 70 odd branches, the highest of them is La ilaha illallah. The lowest branch is removing something harmful from the path. Haya is a branch from the branch of Iman. This is actually the wording of a hadith. So Iman, it doesn't just mean belief. Rather, Iman is manifested in many different ways. And Iman can be manifest upon the tongue through statements. It can be manifest through the limbs by actions. And it can be manifest in the heart through beliefs. And this hadith, it mentions all three. So look, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, which the author mentions, the highest of them is saying La ilaha illallah. So this is now a statement. This shows us that Iman is manifested through the statements. He said the lowest of the branches is to physically remove something harmful from the pathway. So therefore this is an action. So Iman is also manifested through actions. Then he said, Al-Haya shu'batun min shu'ab al-Iman. And Haya is a branch from the branches of Iman. And Haya is something which is in the hearts. What is the meaning of Haya? First of all, don't confuse between two different words. Al-Hayatu and Al-Hayau. Two different words. One ends with a ta marbuta, Al-Hayatu. And the other one ends with a hamza, Al-Hayau. Al-Hayatu with a ta, it means life. The opposite of death. Al-Hayat wal-Maut. As for Al-Haya, this is what we are talking about here. Sometimes Haya is translated as being shyness. And this isn't completely correct, because in the English language, when it's said that somebody is shy, then that is seen as a sign of weakness in that person. This shy person, he isn't willing to stand up in front of people and speak the truth. So shyness isn't accurate translation of the word haya. Haya, the ulama, they say, it is ma yahjuz an al-fi'li, or ma yahjuz al-fa'il min fi'li ma yukhalif al-muru'a, which basically means haya is something which you have in your heart that stops you and prevents you from doing something which is going to go against a person's dignity or go against a person's respect. And this is the meaning of haya. So for example, when you're sitting amongst the people, there's respectful ways of sitting, and then there's other ways of sitting. And if you would sit like this, then maybe the people think, look at the way that this person sits. So it takes something away from your muru'a, something away from your dignity, something away from you being a practicing person, that you're sitting this way. Or for example, when it comes to, let's say, eating. So, in Islam, there are certain manners when it comes to eating. And then there are things that if a person was to eat this way, it goes against you as a Muslim, somebody who is dignified, somebody who has integrity in how he is. It goes against you for you to eat this way. So, al-haya is what prevents you from doing that. Laughing, for example. There's a particular way to laugh. But if you're sitting in the masjid, then there are certain ways of laughter you don't do, because you're in the masjid, you're in the house of Allah, you're a Muslim, you're a practicing person. And all of this is called al-muru'ah. So when a person is shy or embarrassed to do certain things, that is al-haya. Al-haya is a form of embarrassment
That if you were to do this action in front of the people, you'd be embarrassed by it. And that is the meaning of al-haya. When it comes to wearing clothing, so as Muslims, brothers and sisters, or as practicing people, there's certain types of clothing we wear. There's other types of clothing that we shouldn't be wearing. Because if we were to wear them, the person outside would say, what kind of Muslim are you? You're wearing this type of clothing. So what is it that prevents us from wearing that clothing is haya. Because we would feel a sense of embarrassment inside us that we are wearing these clothing and people are looking at us. This is the meaning of al-haya. So it's not just shyness, because shyness is khajal. And khajal is when somebody is too shy or too scared to speak the truth in front of the people. Rather, it's a form of shyness or modesty or a form of embarrassment from doing certain actions which goes against your dignity as a Muslim and as a person in front of the other people. And of course, the greatest type of haya is being shy in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being embarrassed to do sins in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, it's Ramadan, it's Muharram. And Muharram is one of the sacred months, the four sacred months. And today is the fourth of Muharram. So a person should be shy in front of Allah of doing certain things. And maybe you might fall into the other months, but because this is one of the sacred months of Allah, then we don't want to do these actions. We're shy in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or for example, if there's a mushaf which is there, you feel shy to do certain types of things because there's a mushaf there. Or you're in a masjid, or you're amongst brothers or good company and like this. This is the meaning of al-haya. And then he said, its pillars are six. There are six pillars of iman. And that is from the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, al-imanu billah, to have iman in Allah, wa malaikatihi, his angels, wa kutubihi, his books, wa rusulihi, his messengers, wal yawmil akhir, and the final day, wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi, and also the decree, everything good which occurs upon this earth, and everything bad which occurs upon this earth, all of it is due to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are a number of evidences for this. Number one, the lengthy hadith of Jibreel, which we're going to come to. And then also, the author, he mentions the saying of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَيْسَ الْبِرْ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ the ayah. That it is not righteousness that you turn your faces to the east or the west. This isn't true iman. Rather, true iman is those who truly believe in Allah and the final day, the angels and the books and the prophets. Then he mentioned the second ayah, the proof of the decrees, the saying of Allah, Inna kulla shayin khalaqnahu bi qadr. We have created all things in accordance with a qadr. Let's briefly go through the six pillars of al-Iman. So the first pillar of Iman is al-Imanu billah. In order for a person to have correct Iman in Allah, he has to have Iman in four things relating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these four things, number one, al-wujud. And we discussed this previously. So first of all, you have to have iman in the existence of the Creator, the Supreme Being. If a person doesn't believe that Allah exists or the Creator exists, then of course he's not a mu'min. And how can we prove the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We mentioned through one of four ways. Number one, the fitrah. The natural belief of every single human being is the belief of a creator. Secondly, the aql, logical intellectual arguments and proofs, they prove to us the existence of a creator. Thirdly, al-his, that which we can see and perceive with our senses, proves to us that Allah exists. And finally, the evidences of the sharia. So the first part of having iman in Allah is al-imanu bil-wujud, having iman in the existence of the Creator and the Supreme Being. Secondly, al-imanu bi-rububiyyatillah. Then you have to have iman in the rububiyyah of Allah, meaning Allah is the Rabb, and Allah is the Khaliq, and Allah is the Malik, and Allah is the Raziq, and He gives life, and He gives death, and so on and so forth. And these two first parts are not sufficient enough for a person to be considered a Muslim. So if a person believes that, yes, I believe in a supreme being, I believe in a creator, and then he believes that the name of the creator is Allah, and that Allah is the one who provides, this in of itself is not sufficient for a person to be a believer. The third part of al-imanu billah is al-imanu bi-uluhiyyatihi, is having iman in the uluhiyya of Allah. Meaning having iman that only Allah deserves worship and worshipping Him alone. And then finally, al-imanu bi asma'illahi wa sifatihi. The fourth part is having iman in the names of Allah and the attributes of Allah. Meaning you have to affirm every name which Allah has affirmed for Himself in the Quran or in the Hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Hadith. And you have to negate every name which Allah negated from Himself in the Quran and the Prophet in the Sunnah. You have to affirm every description which Allah affirmed for Himself, and you have to negate every description which is negated from Allah. You have to affirm every action which Allah affirms for Himself, and you have to negate every action which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negated from Himself or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did so. Now when it comes to the names and the attributes of Allah, there are two extremes and there is one group which is in the middle. So there are three groups when it comes to the names and attributes of Allah, very generally speaking. There, on one extreme are the Mu'attila, on the other extreme are the Mushabbiha, and in the middle is Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah. So the Mu'attila are those people who negate the names and or the attributes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of various levels. So the most extreme of them, they said, Allah does not have any attributes. Some of them said He only has names and those names don't have a reality behind them. Meaning they would say, for example, Allah He is Al-Hayy Bila Hayya. Allah is the living but without life. As-Sami' Bila Sam'. Allah is the all-hearing. Meaning the name of Allah is As-Sami' but He doesn't have the attribute of hearing. Allah is Al-Basir Bila Basar. Allah's name is the all-seeing. The name is Al-Basir. But He doesn't have sight, and so on and so forth. So this is an extreme. There's another group who said, we believe that Allah has names and attributes, but then they understood these attributes in a wrong way. So they, for example, said, yes, we accept that Allah says in the Quran that He istawa, meaning ascended. So they accept this. This ayah says, yes, so we accept that Allah has istawa. This attribute of istawa, we accept it. But we don't accept that it means Allah ascended above the throne. We don't accept that it means Allah is above the throne. They said, instead, we're going to interpret the meaning to being that Allah has complete authority over everything. And like this. For example, they said, the saying of Allah, in many ayahs in the Quran, that Allah has two hands. They said, yes, we accept this ayah. This ayah is in the Quran, Allah has two yad. But then they said, but we don't accept the meaning that yad means two hands. Rather, we say that these two hands refer to strength or power or blessings and so on and so forth. Now, for example, some of them would say, we accept the hadith that Allah loves. We accept this. But we don't accept this meaning on a literal way. We don't accept that Allah loves. It just means Allah rewards. Not that He actually loves. And like this, this is another. So all of these extremes, they are from the Mu'attila. They are negating the names or the attributes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there is another extreme and they are called the Mushabbiha. And they affirm the names and attributes of Allah, but they resemble the names and attributes of Allah to the rest of creation. And they are called Al-Mushabbiha. And then the group in the middle is Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah. So we affirm Allah has names, we affirm Allah has attributes and descriptions, we affirm Allah has actions which He has mentioned. And we affirm them in a literal way. At the same time, we don't accept that this necessitates Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resembles the creation. So we say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two hands. And these two hands are befitting His majesty. And nobody knows the reality of the two hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, we don't compare the hands of Allah to the hands of creation. We affirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a noble face, like He affirmed in the Quran. And the face of Allah is befitting His majesty. And nobody knows the reality of the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is affirmed in the Quran. At the same time, we don't liken Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the rest of creation, unlike this. So this is the middle path. So this is with regards to al-imanu billah. In order to have correct iman in Allah, you have to fulfill these four pillars. Al-imanu bil-wujud, You have to have iman in his existence, in the existence of the Creator, the Supreme Being, Al-Bari subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to have iman in the rububiyyah of Allah, iman in the uluhiyyah of Allah, and iman in the names and the attributes and the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after this is al-iman in the angels. And when it comes to having iman in the angels, then also there are certain things that you have to believe. First of all, you have to believe annahum alamun ghaybi, that the angels are from the world of al-ghayb, from the world of the unseen. So we have two worlds or two kingdoms. There is the world of that which we see around us. So nobody disbelieves in the existence of people. Why? Because we can see there are people amongst us. Nobody disbelieves in the existence of trees. Why? Because trees we can see in front of us. But there is also alamul ghayb. There is an unseen world. And part of the unseen world is angels. And also jinns to a certain degree. And also Jannah and Jahannam and the life in the grave. And all of these things are from the unseen. So the angels, alamun ghaybi, they are from the unseen world. Khalaqahumullah min nur, and Allah has created them from light. Yaf'aluna ma yu'marun, and they fulfill whatever Allah has commanded them to do. Wala ya'asoon Allah, and they do not disobey Allah. Regarding the angels, first of all, we have to believe that they exist. And we have to believe in the names which Allah has taught us, like Jibreel and Mikael and Israfil. These are names which Allah has taught us. And we have to believe in their descriptions, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he saw angel Jibreel alayhi salam, when he brought wahi, revelation to him, he described him as having 600 wings. And he filled all of the horizon. So we have to believe that this is a description. We believe, for example, that the angels talk. Because Allah mentions in the Quran how he talks to the angels and the angels reply to him. We have to believe that the angels have hearts. We have to believe that the angels have intellects. So all of these things, also we believe that with the permission of Allah, the angels can take the form of human beings. We believe this. And Allah knows best whether this was specific to the prophets and the messengers or other than them, Allah knows best. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the hadith of Jibreel, he came in the shape of a man. And two angels came to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, Duyuf Ibrahim, the guests of Ibrahim. And also to Prophet Lut alayhi salam. Two angels came to him in the form of men. And also, Wallahu a'lam, to Maryam alayhi salam. Jibreel came to her, Wallahu A'lam, in the form of a man, and Allah knows best. So this, all of this we have to accept. Also we have to accept the actions and the responsibilities which Allah has entrusted them with. So for example, there is an angel called Jibreel, and he is also called Al-Amin, and he is also called Ruh Al-Qudus. All of these are the names of angel Jibreel alayhi salam. There's four names: Jibreel, Jibra'il, Al-Amin and Ruh Al-Qudus. And what was his job or his mission? To deliver revelation to the prophets and the messengers. Then there's an angel called Mikael, and we have to believe in him. We have to believe in his name. We have to also believe in his responsibilities. And that is that Allah has made him responsible for rain and responsible for the crops. And then there is an angel called Israfil. And Israfil is the angel who has been made responsible for blowing the trumpets on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And then there is an angel called Malak Al-Mawt, the angel of death. And his responsibility is to take the soul of the people. And then there is another angel who is called Malik. And Malik is the angel who is the gatekeeper of Jahannam, may Allah protect us. And also in a narration, which was weakened by some of the ulama, there is an angel called Ridwan, and he is the gatekeeper of Jannah. And then there are other angels, Al-Munkar wal-Nakir, and the angels who will come and question the person in the grave with those three questions. All of these angels, we have to believe that they exist. We have to believe in their names. We have to believe in their descriptions, that they are physical beings but from the unseen world. And we have to believe in their jobs and responsibilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. And then the third pillar of Iman is Al-Imanu Bil-Kutub. Iman in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, i.e. the divine books. And there are certain things which we have to believe regarding the books of Allah. First of all, the books of Allah are the real speech of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He spoke with these words which are in the books. And for example, the Quran is the speech of Allah. It is the real speech of Allah. The speech of Allah consists of words and meanings and sounds. And He spoke with it. And the Quran is not created. From Allah it came, and to Allah it will return. All of this we have to believe regarding the books. We have to believe that Allah sent them. We have to believe in their names, which Allah taught us, like Al-Quran, which was given to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Tawrah, which was given to Musa alayhi salam, Al-Injil, which was sent down to Isa alayhi salam, Al-Zabur, which was given to Dawood, Suhuf Ibrahim, Suhuf Musa, and so on and so forth. And just as a side point, do not confuse between the Injil and between the Bible. These are two completely different things. Sometimes when people give da'wah, they make a mistake, and they say to the Christians, yeah, yes, we believe that the Bible is from Allah. And even the Christians don't believe that all of the Bible is the word of God according to them. And you correct me if I'm wrong. So the Injil are the Gospels. And the Injil is what was given to Isa alayhi salam. And that is contained within this compilation Bible. The Bible is a compilation of 66 books or 72 books, I think. And different numbers according to different sects. Some of them are sayings, some of them are letters from the kings, and so on and so forth. So the Bible is not Al-Injil. The Gospel of Isa alayhi salam, this is called Al-Injil. As for the Bible, it's a collection of various books written by various authors over a few hundred years after the death of Isa alayhi salam. Also, we have to accept whatever information is found in the books, and we have to act by the rulings which are in all of the books, as long as they have not been abrogated by the Quran. Then there is Al-Imanu Bil-Rusul. So the Rusul, they are men, they are human beings, they have been created from clay, they are human beings like us, except that Allah has honored them with the Risala, with the Sharia or the message, with revelation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored them with signs and ayat and miracles, and they are not to be worshipped, rather they themselves used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first Rasul is Nuh alayhi salam, and the last Rasul is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also we have to believe in al-iman bil-yawm al-akhir. We have to have iman in the final day. And having iman in the final day, there's three main things that you have to have iman in. First of all, al-ba'ath. And al-ba'ath is the resurrection. So the first aspect of al-imanu bil-yawm al-akhir is that when people die on yawm al-qiyamah, they will be resurrected, and this is called al-ba'ath. Al-ba'ath ba'd al-maut. And then the second part of al-imanu bil-yawm al-akhir is al-imanu bil-hisab wal-jaza. Having iman that every single person will be questioned and held accountable in front of Allah, and every person will be rewarded or punished according to his deeds and sins, and according to the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the third part of al-imanu bil-yawm al-akhir is having iman in Jannah, having iman in the fire. And both of these are abodes which have been created, and they already exist now, but they are from the world of the unseen, and they are not from this world, but they are still real. And then there are many other things which are attached to these three things. So for example, al-barzakh, the life in the grave, is part of al-imanu bil-yawm al-akhir. And the angel of death coming and taking the souls of the people is from al-imanu bil-yawm al-akhir. And the blowing of the trumpets, the two trumpets, is from al-imanu bil-yawm al-akhir. And also for example, the drinking from the hawd and the kawthar in Jannah, and going to the mahshar, and all of these things which maybe at a later time we'll go through in detail, all of this is from al-imanu bil-yawm al-akhir. And then finally we come to the last pillar, which is al-qadr. And Al-Qadr is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to believe as Muslims, as mu'minun, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed everything which occurs upon the earth. Whether it is good or whether you perceive it to be bad, then it is only according to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it comes to the decree of Allah, there are four things you have to believe in. First of all, Al-Ilm, that Allah completely knows the details of everything before He even created it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything which is going to occur, Allah has knowledge of it. Everything which will not occur, Allah has knowledge of it. And everything which will not occur, if it was to occur, how would it occur? Even this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge over. Secondly, Al-Kitabah, that everything is written in Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz. Thirdly, Al-Mashi'ah, that when the time comes for that thing to happen, then Allah decrees for it to happen. So nothing in this world can exist external to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then finally, Al-Khalq wal-Ijad, Allah then creates that thing. So Allah has created the people, and He has created the characteristics of the people, and He has even created the actions of the people. And at the same time, we affirm that we also have a will and a choice. So we don't say that we are forced to do evil because Allah has willed that we're going to do that evil. Rather, we also have a choice to do good or to do evil, but our will and our choice is under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So neither do we negate the will and the choice of a person, and neither do we affirm it like the other extreme who said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not decree a thing until after a person has done that thing. That is also misguidance. So these are the six pillars of Iman. And then finally we come to Al-Ihsan. And he said Al-Ihsan, it has one pillar. It is أن تعبد الله كأنك ترى, that you worship Allah as if you see Him. وَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ, and if you know that you do not see Him, then you know that He sees you. So Al-Ihsan, it's one thing, but it has two levels, a higher level and a lower level. The higher level of worship is to worship Allah as if you see Him. Meaning what that thing which drives you to worship Allah is your love of Him, and that you are seeking His reward and His pleasure. And this is the worship of the awliya and the salihin. And the second level of ihsan is that you know He sees you, meaning the thing which causes you to strive hard in worship is the fear that Allah sees you. So the higher level, the cause behind the worship is your love of Allah and your desiring His reward as if you can see Him. And the second level of ihsan is your fear of Allah, because you know that He sees you. Like for example, we always give this example, two people who pray. If you ask one of them, why are you praying this salah? He said, because I want Jannah, because I desire and I have hope in the mercy of Allah, so I want to do the salah. The next person, you say, why are you praying? He said, the reason why I'm praying is if I don't pray my salah, then I fear that Allah will not forgive my sins. I fear that Allah will enter me into Jahannam. So what's the difference between both of them? The first of them, he's praying because he hopes in the reward of Allah. It's based upon his desire, his muhabba, his shawq, his talab, as Ibn al-Qayyim said. And the second person, his ibadah is based upon muraqaba wal khawf, is based upon his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the six pillars of Iman and the pillar of Al-Ihsan. And then in the next lesson we're going to go through the famous hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.